Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. My guest this episode, Verizon IndyCar Series rookie Zach Veach and his father, Roger Veach. This might be one of my favorite stories in many years, and it follows the lines of champion fathers and the sons who follow in their footsteps. We think of Marco Andretti, son of Michael Andretti, an IndyCar champion, who's a son of an IndyCar and Formula One champion in Mario Andretti. Think of Graham Rahal, son of a three-time IndyCar champion, Indy 500 winner, and Bobby Rahal. We think of Zach Veach, whose father Roger is also a champion. Zach is definitely cut from that same champion's cloth if we're thinking of lineage. So for Roger, not an IndyCar driver, not a NASCAR driver, not a sports car champion, he's a champion in the sport of tractor pulling. And as someone who grew up, for reasons I don't know, in California, but loving this kind of very heavily Midwestern cherished thing, it blew me away to learn about this fact about Zach and Roger years ago. And now that we have Zach entering his first full season as an IndyCar driver with Andretti Autosport, knowing that he'll be teaming up with Marco Andretti, again, son of champion, grandfather of champion, and heading into a series where so much family history between Unsers and you name it, just absolutely central to this world of open wheel racing. Wanted to get together with Roger and Zach. We did that at the recent Phoenix Open test in February to discuss this topic. What was it like growing up as the son of a champion tractor puller? What was it like helping him? What did you learn? And I think most interesting for me at least, how did you go from being a kid raised in the middle of the farmland in Stockdale, Ohio, part of this tractor pulling family, and hang a hard right and head to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? So that was the topic here. Spent about 30 minutes or so discussing this, and I don't need to hide my affection for the two of them. Just a lovely family. And the sporting stuff, the wins and the pole positions and how Zach will fare as a rookie, that's all going to sort itself out on its own. Just for the people themselves, the quality of the characters that are in the series, that's something that for me, don't need to wait to appreciate that. They're already a pretty awesome addition. You know, you can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires on iTunes, also on Podbean, on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, and one of the brand new additions is we've also embarked upon a Google Play site too. So even more places for you to catch us. And with all that said, we are off with Roger and Zach Veach to talk about the road from tractor pulling to IndyCar.
You come from championship motor racing stock. It doesn't involve going in circles. It doesn't involve road racing. Your father here, again, as a champion, tell me about this very unique entry into the world of motor racing that is unlike anything we've seen before in IndyCar.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping in another 40 years my son can say that he got his pedigree from me in road racing, but my dad gave me a very good sense of traction coming from the world of truck and tractor pulling. So from a young age, when I was much littler than I am now, if you believe that, started off with antique tractors. You had a farm mall that you all built yourself.
Yeah, we had.
And that was kind of his USF 2000 Pro Mazda, wow, if you want to say, into two-wheel drive pulling.
And this is growing up in Ohio?
Yeah, we're the land of truck and tractor pulling and sprint car racing.
Well, it goes a little deeper. My parents actually, in the 70s, pulled a mini rod.
Really?
And so basically it was a 351 Cleveland Ford with a plastic seat on top of a 9-inch rear end.
That's
awesome. And they won the state championship. My dad won the 1,700-pound class, and he was too heavy to pull the 1,500-pound class, so they threw my mom on there. And she got second or third in the state that year. So I mean, it was crazy, and you know, that was back in the days where it was raw. You know, there was no helmets, no seat belts, no anything. they jumped in. It was like a fold up yard chair on the back of it, and away they go.
How crazy.
Yeah.
So Zach, I grew up, my father was an amateur road racer in the San Francisco Bay Area, so as I've always joked, I was just part of his loading list for SCCA weekends. Toolbox, jack, kid, throw him in the back, and off you go. what was it like for you growing up as, you know, part of your dad's packing list in this world of, again, I came into this world through, call it traditional routes, road racing, yeah, elite, right? Did anything beyond pulling stand out to you as a little kid growing up in this? What was it like?
For me, you know, something that's very similar was just the community aspect of it. You know, and for me, I'm talking about a community of kids. You know, I'm sure for you, it's the same of what I have now when you show up to the track with guys like Gabby and, you know, Power. You know, it's your family. But a lot of kids were brought to all the pools by their fathers. So for me, when I showed up, it was my little community of a lot of kids my same age. So that was fun. And I had a brother. I have a brother that's about 5 years older than me. So he was the one that helped Dad mainly with the work, just because at that time I was five to ten. So he would help my father rebuild the engines more so. So I would always get given the rag and wax, or the Swiffer duster. So from the early on, it was my job to clean all the dirt out of the wheels and off the back of the truck, and just polish anything that wasn't shiny.
This isn't a little formula car with a few bugs. No. This is tractor pulling dirt, diesel, God knows what. So, you were teaching this kid work ethic at a young age, Raj.
It was so funny. We've got some pictures where he was so tiny. And he was actually taking mothers to the aluminum wheels, and you know, him standing there only made it to about half of the height of the wheel. Yeah. And he was up inside there just polishing away.
So tell me about this from your perspective, Roger. So, father, you enjoy the sport. Again, you're achieving success in this. How much time are you able to, I don't want to say dedicate to your family, but while you're there, while you're having to, whether it's prepare the track or whatever else, you're there competing.
Yeah.
How much are you able to focus on your sons and the family aspect of this? How much are you just kind of letting them observe Dad doing something fun and sporting, but also with a professional approach?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool because I think a lot of it helped them realize that there's no dream you can't chase.
Mm.
You know, because it was something I always wanted to do. My parents didn't have the budget to, you know, go at the higher level like I did. And so, you know, it was so funny. When I was in high school, I gathered all the parts and pieces to build a truck. And so it come time to go to college, and so I had some money put back, and I could either use that money to go to college or I could buy an engine for that truck.
We know how these things often go in motor racing.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. I went to college.
Wow.
And, you know, and looking back, you know, I felt like I missed it. And then, you know, I was lucky. My company was successful. And I just, the way I got started back into it, a friend of mine had a antique pulling tractor, and he wanted a computer, and so I got him a computer, and I went to his house, and I seen that, and I said, "So what are you going to do with that thing?" He said, "I've been trying to sell it, but I haven't been able to find anyone to buy it." So I said, "So I'll tell you what, I'll trade you the computer for it." And so he said, "Yeah." I said, "I'd love to do that."
That might be the best trade in the history of the world.
So I took that thing home, and first thing we did, we tore it apart, and we took a four-cylinder engine that was normally 38 horsepower, took it up to 600 cubic inch.
Oh my gosh.
It was, and you know, in the time it was antique, so it was putting out about 275 horsepower after we got done with it.
Wow.
We had our own head casted. There was a guy in Rushville, Indiana that casted a head for us, and so we did that, and I mean, we just dominated. I mean, just went right out and did great. So as I was doing that, you know, I went to a pool at Bowling Green, which you've probably been to Bowling Green, and Roger Simon and Stan Shelton was up there, and I was watching those guys, and I thought, man, I want to do this. And so I went home and told my dad, I said, I'm going to do this. He said, okay. So about a week later, tires showed up. I had a Bob Joestock in Michigan built me a rear end and bought me a set of frame rails, and I just built the thing entirely myself. When Brian Knox, Sassy Racing Engines, I went to them. They were really good to help me get started because, you know, I was coming into it as a novice.
Sure.
They got me started and went from there. But, you know, the thing with the boys, I always had them involved, and I always tried to teach them to do what I was doing, because that's something my dad did with us growing
sure.
up, you know. And I had Brandon, my oldest son, he was rebuilding engines at 14. You know, he was restripping SSI blowers, you know. So here's this kid, you know, putting together $65,000 engines.
Wow.
You know, so that was really cool. And then Zach would help us with the cleaning, and he would help us get the gator ready. That was his job, was to, you know, get all that lined up. And
because you got to drive.
Yeah.
The gator was my domain.
Wow.
I could barely reach the pedals. I had to sit on the front of the seat, but that was my proud part.
Yeah, but motorsports has been so good for me and the relationships with my two boys, because, you know, Brandon, from the time he was 9 until 17, you know, he was with me every weekend, every evening, going to his truck pulls. And then when Zach, you know, came to me, he was wanting to race. You know, I told him, I said, buddy, I said, you got to be 15 to do this. And he goes, no, Dad. I said, I want to drive IndyCar. And if I don't get started soon, I'm going to be too old. So this was at 11. And I was in the Enderley pull-off that year. And I went up there and I ran with Solvents. Those guys become my best friends in the world. They still are to this day. And, you know, Solvents were the guys that invented two-wheel drive class.
Yeah, yeah.
They created it. So we were hooking at the Enderley pull-off, and once I got in the truck and got set up, I got on the radio. I said, guys, this is the last time I'm going to run.
Wow.
And they laughed, and they said, yeah, this year it is. And so I made my run, and as I was going back to the trailer, I come up with a lot of cool designs when I was building stuff, and I had this one guy that would always buy my trucks whenever I'd go to Solomon, Andy Teasley. So I was going back to the transporter, and I told Andy was walking. I said, hey, Andy, so you want to buy this truck? He goes, yeah, you going to build a new one? I said, not exactly. So this was Saturday night at 10:30, and by Monday morning at 9 a.m., tractor, trailer, transporter, three engines, all kinds of spares, everything was gone. I bought a go-kart, and I told him, I said, anytime you want to go to the track, I'll take you. Anytime turned into every day. We were literally at the track seven yeah. days a week.
That's a heck of a sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, if you think about that, Zach, I mean, your father's passion, the willingness to say, okay, I've gone very far with mine. I've become a champion.
Of course.
I'm going to intentionally put that aside and sell that and use those proceeds to help push you forward. That's pretty amazing.
You always hear, you know, the joke, I want to be a better parent than mine was. And he set the bar way too high.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a timing thing. You know, he jokes that when I have my own kids, I'll understand. But I look at it now, especially being here in a paddock as an IndyCar driver. And, you know, that was your IndyCar driver. I mean, that was your dream. And just it would take so much. So, you know, how much I appreciate is that is so great. But it's funny, I didn't understand what was going on at first. I just knew that my dad was selling things.
Look, there's a go-kart.
Well, yeah. So he's terrible with surprises. And because of that, I've become the same way. So all of a sudden, the transporter and everything was gone, and we had this empty shop. And my grandparents, his father, has a trucking company. So we'd always haul trash, basically. You know, our trash from the end of the week or from the race shop. We'd put it in the back of the gator, take it up to the trucking company, throw it in the dumpster. And we were throwing things into the dumpster, and I was standing on the back of the gator like I'd always do. And he goes, hey, there's going to be a pretty big box coming next week. And I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? You know, I'm confused. And then he paused, and like 3 or 4 minutes go by, and he goes, it's a surprise. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then another 10 minutes go by, and he goes, it's a go-kart. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, but, you know, just I knew kids were racing from the time, you know, they were 5 or 6. So starting at 12, you know, when he said we can go any day that you wanted, I felt there was just a bit of pressure to make up for lost time.
Mm.
And part of it, I just loved driving. I mean, you give a kid a go-kart, and you allow him to go faster than he's ever really gone before. And you don't want to walk away from it. And we were lucky to find a lot of people to help us along the way, because The physics of pulling and the physics of competitive karting are slightly different, you would think.
It was so crazy because we were at Circle Hill. We'd go there every day, and Steve Tapman, the owner, was amazing with us. And it got to the point where he would even turn the lights on for us at night.
Wow.
So we could stay and run. And there was this guy that kept coming up, and he was watching us. You know, he'd just show up, and he wouldn't say a whole lot. He'd just watch. And then one day he'd come up to me and goes, "You know," he said, "your son's pretty good." And I said, "His dad's holding him back right now." I said, "I don't know the difference between caster and camber." I said, "You know, I know a little bit of it." I said, "But, you know, the type of motorsports I did, it, you know, was nothing like this." And so he started hanging out and helping us. And then come time, we wore out an engine, like, from first couple months. First couple months, we wore out an engine. So I told him, I said, "We won't be at the track for a few weeks. I said, I got to send this engine off to get it rebuilt." And I said, "When we get back, I'll call you." I said, "Let me have your number." And he goes, "Well," he said, "you know, I used to build a lot of those engines," and said, "you know, I'd be glad to rebuild it for you." And first I thought, you know, who is this guy? You know, is he going to screw up the motor? And then something just told me to say, you know, trust him, let him do it. So I gave it to him, and we just knew him as Dave. That's how we knew him. It was his name, Dave. Yeah. So he calls me next day, and this was on Sunday afternoon. He calls me Monday, like at 11. He says, "Hey," he said, "I got this engine done. Said I'd like for you to bring Zach up to the shop. Said I want to put it on my dyno and I want to teach him how to adjust the carburetor." Mm. So I thought, okay, well, that's pretty good. The guy's got a dyno. He must know what he's doing.
Sure. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. So we load up that evening and we get up there and we walk in. There's all these sprint car pictures and Indy car pictures.
Indy car front wing. I remember seeing this broken front wing hanging on the wall. And that, you know, if you would think I just saw the greatest thing in the world, you know, I'm like, that's a part from an Indy car.
Wow.
So I asked him, I was like, "You must be a pretty big fan of Sarah Fisher because I see all these pictures of her." And his simple reply was, "Well, I guess you could say I'm her biggest fan. I'm her dad."
Awesome.
That kind of just propelled the whole karting. I mean, honestly, yeah. It was, you know, you look back, there's always single moments that change everything. And in our relationship with Dave, as far as from a knowledge standpoint and a kind of a teaching standpoint, that was one of the single most important periods of my history so far.
Wow. Well, let me ask one final question, and I'm intentionally not asking a ton here because I want to leave as much meat on the bones of this story because NBCSN, ESPN, this needs to be feature stuff. You drive for Michael Andretti. Marco Andretti is one of your teammates. Ryan Hunter-Reay, Captain America, IndyCar champion, Indy 500 winner. Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 winner, seemingly born out of a test tube to be an open-wheel driver. You go to the IMS Museum, you see some of, whether it's team owner, you name it, you see this family lineage throughout. What kind of pride do you carry with you knowing that outside this realm that most people understand, you carry a championship pedigree of your own? And do your teammates even understand how damn cool this is?
I think sometimes I get the question of, isn't that what they do at the county fair? You know, that's always the question. But, you know, I think the people that truly love motor racing, even the drivers, but I see more so from the mechanics and the engineers. Mm. That, you know, especially with pulling, you know, everything, that was the beauty of it, you know, from what I could see. I didn't understand it as a young age, but now it's clear that, you know, what you can dream of, you can make. You know, there's still that engineering aspect of coming up with something new, like IndyCar racing was 20, 30 years ago. You know, so to me, I really enjoy that because we don't get to do too much of that now because we're all specialists in IndyCar. And I think, I want to do, it'd be funny to get a video. We got to get my three teammates to a county fair, or a state national, and let them see this. Because I feel like a lot of people, if they've never been there, they've never heard a 4 or 5 inch mod take off, you know, they have no idea.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, ear piercing, you know, the horsepower will never compare to what we have. You know, it's just incredible.
It's so amazing. That was what I enjoyed most, was just building the equipment and going from there. But, you know, I was a little, you know, because I had my IT firm, and it was really, you know, I had a lot of nationally based clients. And so sometimes it was a little embarrassing because, you know, if you'd mentioned truck or tractor pulling that you did, they would automatically think, y'all, well, this dude's redneck, or
yeah,
you know, got
something
a barn
like that.
So it was so funny. I was in California one time meeting with a client. They had like 30 stores, and we just got the contract to do all their stores. We went to dinner, like at a Chili's or something like that, and ESPN was broadcasting one of the events, and it just so happened to be one of the events I won.
Wow.
So we were sitting there eating, and the guy looked up at the TV screen and goes, "You ever seen this?" I said, "Yeah, it's pretty
crazy." Keep watching.
I didn't say anything. I said, "Yeah, it's pretty crazy." And then I ran, it showed my run, and he said, "Man, that guy really got it out of there. And then the camera switches to me, and they're interviewing me, and he looks at that, he looks at me, he looks back, and he goes, "That's you." And I said, yeah, but it was really engineering aspects. You know, we, with Brian Knox, we created some really cool stuff. We did ignition systems, air locker rear ends. I mean, with Bill Humphrey, it was amazing. You know, some of the things we come up with, and there was a lot of things that didn't work, but we never got any testing. You had to go out there. You know, you looked at the track.
You found out the hard way.
It was a gut feel, and so it really taught you to listen to your intuition.
And one last thing I will say, what people always ask, why IndyCar instead of wanting to stick with my dad's background, where I have some of that heritage per se. And I will always, one trip always sticks out in my mind, and we drove 27 hours out west for a single pull. We unloaded. 8 seconds of driving for him, he won. 27 hours back home. I was watching the Indy 500, and I'm like, well, these guys get to, there's a whole month of practice, and the race is 3 hours long. That, I want to do that.
It's like a video game that costs $1,000 in the last 2 seconds. They go, no.
And it was so funny. I tried to get him to get a junior dragster, and I said, let's do that. I said, I know those engines. I said, when you get, you know, to run a big one, it'll be good. He said, that's worse than truck pulling. They only run 3 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
It's all about the time.
Well, Veach family, thank you guys for being awesome. And so glad you guys are here. You bring so much to this paddock that, honestly, we haven't had before.
Well, thank you, Marshall. Thank you. We appreciate you allowing us to kind of tell a little of our story.
And that was Zach and Roger Veach. Definitely going to be fun to watch the two of them. And I'm also really hoping that Zach can drag Marco Andretti, Alexander Rossi, and Ryan Hunter-Reay out to a pulling event. You know, can you just imagine Marco strapped atop of something putting out 8 trillion horsepower, trying to tow 50,000 plus pounds and controlling that, or Hunter-Reay, or the rather effete Rossi, in such a dirty and kind of just down-home type setting? I love it. I absolutely love it. So I hope that happens. Maybe as we get closer to the month of May and get back to IndyCar's Midwestern roots. I don't know. We need to make this happen, folks. All right. I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is a Marshall Pruitt podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thanks for listening.